Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the back room of Meltdown Comics and the Nerd Melt Theater, I'm proud to say that Harmontown is once again in session. Please welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, Mr. Dan Harmon.
Hooray! Thank you. Mr. Jeff Davis, your comptroller. Yeah. All right, thank you for waiting. We usually do get it started a little bit after 8, but we had some speaker wiring issues or something. The holodeck had to be rejiggered, and thank you for your patience. Hope it didn't affect your the energy with which you were going to go home and watch Breaking Bad on your DVRs. And also thank you for DVRing it and coming here. Erin did not choose Breaking Bad over the show, but she is not here because she long ago committed to hosting a Breaking Bad party at my house. So it seems like she just stayed home to watch Breaking Bad, but it's more important than that. There are guests and stuff. They're wearing costumes and having a lot of fun, and we're here. Just cakes shaped like hats and, you know, Aaron Paul-themed snacks. I don't know. Anyways.
I was just saying backstage, I've never seen a single minute of that show, I look forward to maybe watching it all like 1 month on DVD or something.
Yeah, you got to be the last guy. I can't even think of. We should find a woman that also hasn't seen it and mate you two and like I don't know what like, create some kind of like
interesting couple,
specialized working breed of person. All right. One thing on my mind, and that's all I can think about. And then let's bring our friends up to make up for lost time. But I'm a dog owner and a cat owner. A lot of people my age have children. A lot of people my age have children that are half my age. I have a dog and a cat, and they're not getting along. Well, they're getting along okay. Like the cat doesn't let the dog more than a foot. Like there's a cat bubble. You know, it's like if the dog gets too close, then the cat hisses and kind of maybe swipes. But they've never touched each other, ever. They've kind of like came very close to accidentally like getting, you know, Aaron puts little Summit snacks in between the two of them. There's these snacks that both dogs and cats like, so in this kind of cruel
Summit
fashion.
Summit snacks?
Well, I'm saying, she has a Summit and puts a little snack on the bed, and the cat and the dog both like the snacks. So she, there's some for the cat, some for the dog. Put them a little closer, like a Reese's Pieces. You know,
a Summit like Stalin and Roosevelt are going to be together.
And so they've never touched. They've never touched each other. The ultimate dream is to have them like snuggled up to each other. You know, like a little dog cat couple.
Do you think that dream is fast escaping? It's not going to ever.
Well,
come
here's
to
the plot twist. So like we're primates. We don't understand how these creatures really think. At the end of the day, they exhibit characteristics that make us think, well, okay, that cat's mad. I get mad. It doesn't want something, so it's lashing out. Okay, I understand that. And so we then think that these things have the same brains and emotions that we have, and we're just wrong. And I will tell you why I found that out today. I was at work, and Aaron texted me. Well, most of my colleagues get texts from their significant others telling them, "Oh, little Jude took his first steps," or you're working on Community, or Franklin ate a booger, or you know, like they have kids, is what I'm saying. And but I get this text. Aaron said, "Like,
uh-oh.
I mean, I guess I should use her. I want you to feel my confusion and. Let's see.
For those listening, Dan has produced his enormous phone.
Okay. So, I just get a text from Aaron that says, "Harvey licked Fiv's butt." frowny emoticon.
Wait, it sounds like that was the goal, wasn't it?
Well, that's
oh, so your dog touched the cat wrong.
Then she followed it up with ... like there was candy inside her butthole. And I was very confused. I said, "What?" By the way, Fiv is the name of the cat, and Harvey's the dog. I said, "What did Fiv do?" ? Exclamation point. What do we learn? We call those?
I forget.
Tarabang.
Tarragon.
What did Fiv do in Tarabang? Aaron, she let him.
Well, then, of course she let him. Who doesn't want their asshole gently licked?
Then another.
I was speaking as a primate. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Like you wouldn't want your asshole gently licked by another primate that you hated.
Well.
And.
Don't put words in my mouth.
And if you did, after that primate licked your ass, you would find it hard to pretend you still hated it.
If another primate that I hated came up to me and started gently licking my ass, I would take that as an act of contrition.
Exactly. Right. It would be an event that would transform things.
Certainly.
That's why we're a storytelling species.
I find ass licking always to be a transformative moment.
All right. So now back to this story.
Oh, okay. Now I'm listening.
Yeah, exactly. So she let him. And then followed it up with, "She just stood there like he was paying dues." And I said, "Like he was paying or she was paying? Are you saying she wanted it? Enjoyed it?" And she said, "He was paying. She wanted it." Then she sat down. He sat down next to her, and she hissed at him. I said, "I'm having trouble processing this. It's not what I expected would be their first physical contact." She said, "Believe me, I saw it, and I can't process it." She offered him her butt. He sniffed it. He then licked her butthole for upwards of 30 seconds. And I clarified, and she was like, "That's right, you missed a spot?" Then laid down. He laid next to her, and she was like, "What are you, crazy? Don't ever come near me?" "Yep, exactly."
Wow.
This Look, is the animal
baby,
kingdom,
baby so. Steps, you know?
But that's not... baby steps. That's how we think. You take steps and then you start to walk. You develop, you adapt, you change at these milestones. This cat let this dog lick its asshole. Well, it's not afraid of it.
That seems like... Here's what I think. If I had to make a guess, that Fiv, being the elder, like she's been there longer. She's quite old, right? How old is Fiv now? Do we know?
She's got to be at least 13.
Yeah, she's the grand dam of the estate. And here comes this young puppy who's been bumming her out, and she's been hissing at, and she's been quarantined into different parts of the home, and. Yeah, the least he can do is lick a little asshole, but that doesn't make it cool. It's like, hey, no, you get to lick my ass forever. I'm still not going to like you. That's an alpha, like saying, like, yeah, you're the ass licker. I still hate your guts.
Yeah, I guess. It's like the closest you can come to understanding is like prison. You know, like men make love to each other in prison, but they don't then high five. They stab each other. Thank you for letting me make love to you. That's the least you can do for being in prison with me. Now stabby stab stab.
I wonder what Harvey's instinct was. Does he just
bummed out because Harvey views all moving things as potential
delicious assholes.
Like, you know, he sees a squirrel, he sees a cat, he sees another dog, he sees a child, he sees a mailman. He has the same reaction to all of it. He just wants to interact and play. He's a very 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 jolly fella. Who has never really experienced any pain in his life. We're using this modern, you know, post-Caesar Milan training technique. We have never negatively addressed him. We have never even implied to him that he's done anything wrong. And I'm proud to say it works. I'm relieved to say it works. Like, I always thought that dogs inherently you need to, like, You need to be punitive.
So no
point.
No praise. No.
No. No. No praise. Oh, yes, always lots of praise for the things that you want them to do.
But never,
and then no. But never, no. If they take a shit in the middle of the Constitution, like while you're signing it, you don't sign a Constitution probably. But if they take a shit on your Persian rug, you don't. You know, the old school way is like you come down, you see the shit, and at the very least you go like, hey, bad. And hope that they pick up on it. At the worst, you rub the face and blah blah blah. It just doesn't work. The dog doesn't know. You can make a dog negatively associate negative behaviors with negative consequences, but overall, what you're actually doing is making the dog associate you with negative consequences. You're just making the dog nervous. It's kind of like, ugh, the last time I did anything I wanted, I got hit in the nose with a newspaper. So I guess I'll kind of generally stick to what I know to be safe behaviors. So it's rabbit hunting with an elephant.
Well,
gun.
So you've never told your dog no, so your dog thinks everything is a possibility. So it starts licking a cat's asshole, and the cat says no after it. Well, like lets it lick her butt, and then hisses at it, and he's getting negative.
Yeah, well, the cat isn't bound by our rules.
I know.
And is definitely using Caesar Milan techniques on the dog.
So he's all fucked up now. He doesn't know what's going on.
Well, no, he's just the cat's got the dog better trained than us. I don't know what you're trying to point out.
I'm just trying to figure out. We're trying to like figure out Harvey's state of mind right now.
It's a cat. I mean, if the dog went up to a door and the door closed on its face, it wouldn't. It's the door. It's a cat.
Do you think that Harvey has learned his lesson to not lick Fiv's ass anymore, or do you think he's going to go back to that well?
That I don't know. I mean, she let him lick her ass.
Right, for 30 seconds.
I think 30 seconds
is a good long time.
The new school of dog training suggests that over time he will become an ass-licking cat. That he will only lick her ass.
Right.
She may have nailed it. He won't go near her unless she offers her asshole, and he'll just lick it. But he won't ever do anything else with her.
I hope that's the case.
It'll be interesting. All right, we've talked too long about this,
or not long enough.
let's. I just want to bring up Kumail. He makes me comfortable. Let's bring up Kumail Nanjiani. He may be in the bathroom.
He's right here.
Hey guys, that is one of the nicest intros I've ever gotten. Sincerely.
Yeah, I just you've become the edge of my pool. I just grab it instinctively when I'm either scared or lazy.
So the cat and the dog didn't like each other in the beginning, and now they're better.
I don't have an answer to that question. The dog licks the cat's asshole. But the cat still doesn't like the dog. The dog has always liked the cat. The dog expresses all desire through barking. When it follows the cat doesn't want to associate with the dog. We have a network of baby gates with the one slat taken out, so the cat has more wizardly access to the whole house. It's never more than 5 feet away from safety, whereas the dog has, it's like a Ladybug, that video game from the 80s. Like, there's just a lot of gates.
Woo! I've never heard of this video game.
Well, why don't you guys all marry life if you're so young?
I think we do. We're marrying life, right, young people? Yeah.
I don't think it's an age thing. You could have referenced equally old video games, but maybe a little more popular one than Ladybugs.
But he's like Ladybug. He like is a very limited.
Oh, don't patronize
movement.
Me.
So he's like this Ladybug that you speak of.
You know the character's name isn't Ladybug. It's Barba.
We had.
I can't riff a name.
You really can't.
No. Right, Barbarella.
Barbarella. Okay.
We have this cat, and she's. What happened was the people who lived in our house when we moved in, she had two cats, and when she moved, she just left the cats outside and just moved away. So, which is horrifying. So these two, one of the cats. Went feral like immediately. The other cat was just hanging out like really sweet, like always like looking at us like, hey guys, how's it going? So we were feeding it, but our neighborhood has coyotes. So every night it had to like battle giant werewolves basically. And every morning it would be like, good food, do you have any guns or anything? But you could see it getting more desperate, so we took it to the vet, got it all checked out. The sweetest cat, we named him Wallace, and we our own existing cat is Bagel, like really sweet, unaggressive Bagel, right? Cute. Oh, adorable. And we brought him home.
Is it because when he sleeps, he looks like a little bagel?
No, I just always wanted a cat named Bagel. And I was like, it's not even the right color or anything. It's not Jewish or anything. It is from Brooklyn, though, so. Not Williamsburg.
So anyways.
So, but Bagel's, like, totally switched. Like, she turned into a different... It was weird. Like, part of her, like, saber-tooth brain, like, evolutions, like, something changed. And she, like, totally turned into a different... Like, she would walk different. Super mean to this cat. We would see, like, the Bagel would just stare down Wallace so long that Bagel would start falling asleep. And then, like, wake up and be like, what am I doing? Oh, right, fuck this guy. For, like, a week, just, like, staring at him. And Wallace would just... was sort of annoyed because he's been battling werewolves, you know?
He's from the streets.
Yeah, he's from the streets.
He doesn't care that the Eugene Levy of cats is saying, get away, brother!
Exactly. That's exactly right. Is this better? Okay. That one felt weird. But Wallace is just looking at us like...
No. I had that one turned down because it seemed so loud.
Oh.
And then you picked up that one.
All right.
Then I just thought to myself...
I think
I think you have a more resonant voice than the rest of us. You have a very...
I'm just loud, you're saying?
No, you have a very professional theater voice. You project more.
Okay.
That's a really racist stereotype, Jeff.
Oh, yeah? What do we usually scream, Jeff? Fuck. Rise up, brothers! Anybody? No, nobody looks like they are on my side. You do?
I
look, but I'm not.
He can pass.
He can infiltrate.
What nationality are you?
I'm Mexican, but I still get checked at the airport.
you're Mexican, but you still get checked at the airport. Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Wait, it's a bummer even if I get checked at the airport.
No, but it's a bummer.
Yeah, but his is a double bummer. Because he gets checked at the border, too.
Hey, man, bummers are bummers. Infinity times two is still infinity. It's still a bummer.
I guess that's sort of a crass way of putting it, but I wasn't thinking like, oh, he gets checked twice as much, but I was thinking as a white person, I was like, oh man, you get the harassment, which is kind of I think I fantasize about being, you know, because you know that's the one thing that white people don't get to have is the fantasy of being locked out of like waking up in the morning and being like, man, fucking fuck this shit.
So the one thing white people don't have is not having privilege, is what you're saying?
Exactly, yes. Yes.
You know what? As far as sacrifices go...
Camille.
I'm aware that I'm being glib. I'm making the same joke. I'm just saying.
I know, I'm on your side.
You have no idea how good you have it.
Well, it's like that old joke, like there's like a character, you beat me. You've taught me humility. Now I have everything. The idea of like getting to be like really hardcore Irish or really like hardcore anything. Like,
it's true. Yeah.
You would want that.
What I'm saying is if you get to be something, anything other than just this vanilla like meringue, if you get to be something, then there's the price, which is like harassment, prejudice, and all this stuff. But at least you have. But then there's the upside, which is like identity.
Well, but
and this poor guy doesn't. They're stopping up at the airport and going, "Hey, over here, Punjab," and it's like, "Wait, I'm not Punjab. I'm not. I don't have a. I'm not. I'm not even allowed to be offended, yeah. like in a specific way. I'm just being inconvenienced."
What is your name?
Amadeus. It sounds weird.
Amadeus. Yes. Close enough.
That could be.
Close
enough. Might as well be Punjab.
Yeah. Amadeus is pretty racially non-specific.
It's ambiguous. Yeah,
that could be anything.
Well, I get what you're saying, because sometimes if something shitty happens to me, I'm like, oh, this guy's racist. But to you, it's like, oh, he just hates you. You're just...
But Dan, I don't think.
No, what I'm saying is that when the downside is being on the barrel end of racism, the upside is being in an exclusive club. You get to be like something.
Yeah, I understand. That makes sense.
But and so it would be a bummer to be mistaken for something, and it'd be like, whoa.
But it sounds like it's more for you like a kind of a persecution complex, like you're kind of Christ, you know.
Like, yeah, I like that. That's what appeals to me about racism is the idea of being a minority. That would be the thing that I would be into. I would be if I was not white. You better believe I'd make a fucking meal out of it. Yeah, because I look at me. I am a fat white rich guy, and I'm constantly raving about how I'm unappreciated and I'm a genius and no one knows it and all this shit.
Would you be a Black Panther or an activist, or would you just be an
asshole? I imagine I would push whatever envelope you could while still being a coward. I don't think I'd do anything cool. I think I'd just bitch a lot. I'd probably have a really cloying blog. Today I was at the bank and they said, "Can I help you?" What do you mean, can you help me? Like, I need help? I don't know.
It sounds like you'd be a terrorist. It sounds like you'd have a lot of problems with the man and you'd want to tear them down and make them feel
wouldn't have the courage to like actually be a terrorist. You just like sort of have their back, whatever that means.
Some of you are trying to trick me into saying I'd be a terrorist. Others of you are saying it takes courage to be a terrorist. I'm stepping off of all of this.
Hey man, I'm just saying, walk the walk.
You don't have to be non-white to be a terrorist.
Well, let's talk about this. Let's plan this out. What would we do, Jeff?
First, I'd say let's hit pause on our podcast.
Up with a logo.
And then I would lower the screen and I would show you a 15-minute slideshow about some ideas that I have.
I'll say I'm special guest Aziz Ansari. We'll continue with the show.
I do a slightly related segue. I have been thinking lately that it's time to get back to getting to the moon. I think we need to make that a new objective.
You mean our quickly bailed on premise that we had 3 years ago?
Yeah, but it was a passionate one. It was about alienation, like getting the fuck out of here. Just, I'm getting that feeling again. Let's get the fuck out of here, man. Everyone's dumb. Woo! Like, let's
That's go a great response. Everyone's dumb. Woo!
So this guy, he's got his SAT score on a headband.
The smartest guy in the world. Man, I've been totally waiting for someone to say that, man.
I expected a bigger response from this lot. I
think most people are politely nodding, going,
Yes, don't tell them, yes. Mayor Harmon.
Lots of monocles were falling out of people's eyes.
But yeah, I want to get up there, pitch a geodesic dome with a cooler of beer, and just be left alone.
How many people were you initially talking about bringing up there?
Well, it should be a mythical number, right? So either 12 or 666. I don't know.
Is pitching a geodesic dome like the moon version of pitching a tent?
Yeah. Not getting a boner.
Okay. Right. Your bone won't be shaped like a crystal with multifaceted sides to it.
Yeah, space boner.
Space boner, all right.
12 seems too small. I think 600 is a good number.
It is. I wonder what the ideal number would be. The ideal number would be like about 100 if the goal, excuse me for burping, was... I'm convinced that roughly 100 is sort of like... If you like the average person can keep track of 100 people. You know, like it's when it starts to get past 100 that things start to get statistical.
Yeah, that to me would be hell, the idea that you could keep track of everybody. The idea that you knew everybody is like living in a small town. That would make me feel incredibly
But what about look at these people? There's about 100 of these people.
I don't know these motherfuckers.
Yeah, but exactly. Like what if this was what we
Yeah, but we don't live together. If we all lived on a colony on the moon, we would all know each other.
Then it would take years you would slowly get to know them. You would go you know, you would go through rotations and go like, "Hey, Ben, what are you doing for dinner tonight?" I don't know, 100 people.
No, you go to the moon and everyone go, "Hey, there's a big party on Friday night," and that would happen every Friday night, and you'd meet everybody every week. 100 people you get to
but
know.
But the parties would be therefore more meaningful. They wouldn't just default to like this weird networking thing.
But you're not going
to
like 100 people out of that 100. You're going to like
100.
4.
Only five, or at a time. And then you get sick of those 4. You move over to four other ones.
But they're still going to be there. You're going to get sick. You're gradually going to get sick of everybody but four people.
In 18 years, at which point there's all these new people you made.
But they're my kids.
No, they're 18.
They're other people's kids, too.
But they're the kids of the people I don't like.
It's a new generation. They rebel against their parents. They hate their parents.
People I don't like, I don't like their kids either.
No, come on. Look, some of their... You would... Jeff... Stop it.
We know what you're doing and we don't like it.
I'm saying 100 people is not a lot of people. Like,
it's just not enough for you because you're a sponge. Like you would never get enough. 100 people, you'd be like, so there's a cap on the amount of love I can get? You would be like, no, I'm dying in a coffin. I would be like, finally, control.
It's not about receiving love. It's about variety. It's about, like, I love... Like, I couldn't live in a very, very small town.
Variety? You go to the same bar every day. I don't mean that in a bad way, but I mean, like,
I don't go. But also, it's not the same people that go in every time. It's different. It's a new cast of characters that
is
come
it?
And go. Yeah.
Okay. I don't. Is it?
Not really.
I see the same fucking people.
every 3 days, some guy wanders through and goes, "Hey, what's with the suit?" That wouldn't happen on the moon. That's what you're worried about.
No, I would love. I would. That would be good. I love the idea that people, because now people
would stop asking.
People have now stopped asking me about the suit. Now, if I show up not in a suit, people go, "Hey, man, is everything good?"
That's true. Whenever you show
were you
up,
at a funeral?
Yeah. Yeah, people like are concerned. Like, "Hey, man, like, did you just get out of jail? What's going on here?"
What do you say when people say, "What's with the suit?"
It depends on who says it. Like, I used to get, like, when I first started wearing suits a lot, you would get, like, I feel like we've talked about this on the show before. But, like,
if you have, then we don't have to talk.
Generally, it happens at a urinal, which I'm not a big fan of urinal chit-chat.
No, I'm not here to make friends.
Yeah, but exactly. There's not an us.
I don't want to make a connection
but
here.
But some guy is pinned next to you and goes, "Hey, suit guy!" It's like, why are you, hey man, I told Dad this one. I was at the Viper Room a long time ago, very long time, when I had one suit, one $30 vintage suit that I wore to death.
He was there with River Phoenix, that's how long ago it was.
No, it was right around the same time. But I was in the bathroom and he goes, "Hey, suit guy!" I was like, "Hey, how's it going?" I said, our dicks are in hand. And I said, "I'm sorry, do we know each other?" He's like, "No man, but you always wear a suit. You always wear the same outfit, but you get some mad puss." And I was like, I just kind of frowned, and he goes, "Hey man, I'm not trying to hate, I'm trying to celebrate."
By the way,
I actually said, I went, "Pine cone." And he goes, "What?" I go, I don't know, I just thought if I say something, you'd rhyme it. But like that you get, like, generally, like, sometimes guys will go, like, "Hey man, how come you always wear a suit?" And I go, "How come you never do?" And they go, "Yeah."
That's like that Donnie Darko line where they're like, "Why are you wearing a stupid rabbit suit? Why are you wearing that stupid human suit?" Yeah. That's sort of like that.
Wow, yeah. Donnie Darko, what a movie.
That movie fucking stinks. Stinks.
That is,
we all...
Some people don't like it, right? Some people don't like it.
I think,
but no, more people like it.
I think people have... I think
Anatoly likes it.
Anatoly has the luxury of having English as a second language, though. That's like airbrushing everything. It's like putting pantyhose over a shitty movie. I'm sure, like, the subtleties of something's shittiness can, like, get...
Is that movie good? I don't know why.
I think... It's
what?
Like...
It's what?
It's a Wonderful Life, but backwards.
It's a Wonderful Life, but backwards?
Yeah, it's about how he shouldn't be alive.
Yeah. Well, but it's also backwards in the sense that it's a Wonderful Life is good. So they nailed it. They made a shitty version of a backwards.
It's like
premise.
There's these movies that came out that were huge, and now everybody's decided, like, we hate them, like that and Garden State. Everyone liked it when it first came out, and now everyone hates those movies.
This guy hated it.
He hated it when it came out? Yeah. Everyone says that.
No.
It's like in prison, everyone says they're innocent.
Yeah.
I just think that, like you become a curmudgeon as you get older because you basically, like, you just don't bother to go through the phase. You don't. But like when you're the younger you are. Let's face it. I like a lot of movies from when I was like 18 that are just like, they're not gonna hold up. If I show people, I go like, "No, this is the best movie." It's like, watch Midnight Run. It's the best. They're like, someone's gonna have a right to go, "Midnight Run's not that good. Stop jacking jacking off on it. I've still agree that Midnight Run is an amazing movie, but I still think it's equally true if somebody were to watch it and go like, this is a piece of shit. You were 18 when you saw this and you it was meaningful to you, and you can't escape those like neural pathways that you created when you saw it. We talked about this with Goonies and
Labyrinth,
and yeah, people came up, there was a girl that came up that felt that way about Space Jam, and she's not a bad person. She's not a
but she made no case for it.
Is she here?
She doesn't have to, there's no case for it. That's the point. There is no way to prove that Space Jam's a good or bad movie. Well, yes, there is.
No, I meant she made no case for not being a good or bad person.
Okay.
Is she here?
Space Jam, a bad person.
No, she's like Typhoid Mary. She just wanted to suggest Space Jam was good, and she's out of the next city.
Yeah. She's in Idaho right now at an open mic. Space Jam, right, guys? Yeah. Give it another shot.
I don't like Led Zeppelin, but I will defend Neil Diamond. That doesn't make me right. It makes me weird. You know,
right.
It makes you.
Huh? Yeah, it does.
So curmudgeonry, if that's a word, is the phenomenon of getting older and older and older and not even bothering with the period between seeing something and realizing that it's probably like good or not good or whatever. Like not going through the part where you're like, whoa. You just go like, I'm not falling for that. You see a Spider-Man billboard and you're just like, that's dumb. I've seen 8 Spider-Man movies. And then some 18-year-old guy is like, you know what? You can't, there's no drug like being 18. Like we can't remember what it's like. Your fucking brain is on fire. Your dick's like a Black and Decker. Like it's just like your blood is different. Your blood is literally different, and every chemical in it is different. And you're like we take substances to alter our state, but we fail to recognize that when you're 18, like you are a different species. And you know, so like you see a Spider-Man billboard, and you're like, you combine that hormonal energy with the fact that you haven't been around long enough to not trust a movie. Fucking Spider-Man 4 was awesome. And then like some 40-year-old guy goes, you fucking dick, get out of here. Fuck you, you should kill yourself, you fucking piece of shit. Whoa, what's with the fossil? He's bummed out.
Curmudgeonry is abused hope. It's disappointment.
You have a higher standard for the flavors you've tasted. You know, yeah. You go like, hey, man, what happened to? But we fail to recognize that some of the shit we're like, oh, what happened to? Why doesn't everything taste as good as Star Wars?
You were like 12 when you saw it,
and also there were no fucking. There wasn't like festivals and conventions where the cast of Star Wars had to show up 2 years before the movie was finished and tell 6,000 people, Darth Vader's Luke's father. Who wants to hear it? Yay! Okay, we got a sneak preview for you. Here's some ash cans. We got some bottle openers. Goop gob, goop gob. go to StarWars.com. You got your free preview, and all this week we got Star Wars the miniseries coming. It's like everything's just kind of, you know, it's not good or bad. Everything's just like this big oatmeal. And fucking like we were 12 in a world that was like, holy shit, there's pictures moving on the screen and there's no way to capture them except with our hearts. They're gone. What did he say? He said he was his father. Rewind it. I can't. There's no word for rewinding.
My favorite toys when I was a kid, there was two things: Legos and Star Wars action figures. Legos were awesome because, you know, they build stuff. But I remember being four and a half, going on five, standing in line at the Orange Cinerama Dome for Star Wars with my family. I remember it vividly because there was a bunch of dudes in white bell bottoms because it was 77, and they had long hair and kind of proto mustaches, and everybody had pickup trucks and vans with airbrush shit on them, and there's weed everywhere. You later on go, what's that smell? Oh, that's the Star Wars parking lot smell. It's a bunch of marijuana.
Why were there so many more skunks in the 70s?
My father had to
like take me out of the theater, embarrassingly, sadly, out of the emergency or one of the exits by the stage left, screen right door in front of everybody because I started crying when Darth Vader came out. That's why I love the action figures, because that was the most important movie in the world. There was a big, scary bad guy. Like that was the greatest.
So were you like training yourself with the action figure to not be scared, to go through and be able to sit through the movie again?
I am bigger than you.
You're
like shaming it, leaving it in the bathroom.
I never thought of it like that. But that certainly has to be some of the fantasies that you're Zeus. You're controlling these things that had power over you mythologically.
I was watching the original King Kong recently, and you think of like people, like when did that come out? I'm sure you
33.
People just going and seeing fucking King Kong, and it just like blowing their minds. And it sucks that we don't, like that first movie, what was it, that train going through the tunnel? I bet people watching were like, this will never be better than this. This is the best movie
My
ever.
Favorite movie was People Leaving Factory.
That was good.
The Lumiere brothers.
Yeah.
Back then they actually like guys had to figure out, and girls, I'm sure, that had to figure out like that concept that of like cutting from one thing to another, course.
Yeah, there was no language for
the idea of like this was a box that captured light, and there was like those first movies were like, go get that guy that does that magic trick, because they could only conceive of shooting something interesting that had its own interest. Like, what should we preserve? And then someone had to figure out, wait. The camera, the audience's brain will tolerate using this device to whip around the cosmos, to be up in this guy's grill, and then cut to what he's looking at, and then cut back to him and have him go, I want a sandwich. amazing. And then when people would walk on the screen, like reportedly, supposedly, people would see this and they would like, they couldn't help but like, they would crane their necks.
And when the train came at them, people ducked.
Yeah. It makes sense because we go to the carnival ride thing, the Simpsons, Transformers, whatever, and they capitalize. I mean, we're still going to do it. Anyways, what are we talking about? I'm wasting this show. We should be talking about terrorism. Let's get to the moon where it's legal.
Terrorism is legal?
Yeah, there's no laws there yet.
No, but then
nothing to blow up, but no consequences.
But then you're going against the people who you went to the moon with. What are you rebelling against? Aren't you all sort of in agreement?
Got to bring a couple bad people up there with us.
Just for terrorism?
Yes.
I feel like it's going to take one terrorist doing a great job for this whole thing to die.
Now, Dan, you're saying... I don't like the idea of just 100 people. That seems too low.
Oh, right, we're back.
But let's say it's 100, because that's a good round number.
What did you say, 100?
Okay. Let's just call it 100 right now.
Want that guy to be like, you want enough people so that you could run into someone at the urinal who's like, don't hate, participate, or whatever.
I don't know. I don't want that guy in the
There
moon.
Would be nobody allowed like that up there. It would all be Spencers. It would just be like 100 Spencers.
But 100 Spencers, 100 Spencer would devalue the Spencer currency.
Well, equally cool, but like everybody be different. What have we found at Harmontown? There are 100 Spencers.
My question was though, if you were up there with a bunch of really intelligent people, would you be happy? Because like, isn't part of your Christ complex persecution thing your fantasy that how much smarter you are than people and how much you're always like. You know, like how much better you are than people. Wouldn't you kind of die on the vine if everybody was like?
No, I don't think so. I don't want. I mean, and I have discovered as of late, humble brag, that to a limited degree, as much as someone in my field is supposed to experience it, which should be never, but I have on accident. Like this concept of fame as opposed to respect. Like I want. Everyone to like me, or I started that way. I want everyone to like me. I want as many people to like me as possible. There's other people who are like, I want everyone to know my name. I'm not one of those people. Do not like that. Because when everyone knows your name, then it's just like random people are just going like, hey, fuckface, like get a job, fuck it, whatever. Like I've gone out with Jack Black to grocery stores, and he was just trying to buy a box of tricks, and like people just like come up to him and point at his face like he's a bug and go, you're famous, right? And he goes, no, because fuck you if you don't even know. And they're like, yeah, you are. Can I get a picture? Okay. And then like people are running back up to him and going, because they went and Googled him or something like that. And they go like, ugh, Jack Black, Jack Black. King Kong wasn't that good, though. Fuck that. That's fame. I don't want, that's not no good. I want to be in a room where I don't have to worry about a single person thinking that there's anything wrong with me.
Would you be comfortable in a room or in a colony full of people that were slightly smarter than you? Where you kind of felt
As long as I don't. First of all, not possible. Second of all, no, I'm kidding.
That's
I'm kidding.
What I was.
It's not, no, I mean, I'm. It's not a politically incorrect usage of the word. Like, I'm borderline retarded in terms of math, in terms of all kinds of things. So I like. There's a lot of people that are way smarter.
Smart
than me
in other ways. Too. Yeah.
As long as I wasn't like a burden. That's the thing. That is fear of alienation. I don't want to be stuffed in a locker. I don't want to ever have to be in a room where there's a single person that's like, God, it would be so much better if you just fucking die. Which is high school. It's just like it's 90% of the people are just like, why don't you just fucking die?
All right, then what about, like, and not to say that people that do, like, functionary jobs, like, let's say, like, you know, waste removal. And,
yeah,
and
who's
like,
going to...
People that gain satisfaction are doing simple tasks like that. Like, we can't all be, or, like, the colony could not just be a bunch of intellectuals, a bunch of artists. There have to be people that were satisfied doing menial tasks, like stuff like that.
Well, I don't think... I mean, we've explored this in the 60s. Like, there's been, like, colonies of hippies. They're all plenty smart, and they grow their potatoes, and they remove their garbage, and they cut each other's hair, and they deliver each other's babies, and it's worked. Mm-hmm. Like, those people weren't dumb. They weren't above or below fact that 100 people's worth of poop had to be cleaned up.
Like the Spanish Civil War, like the anarchist communes there, and like the Paris communists, and like that. These are people that had planned secretly under fascist governments or monarchic governments teaching each other how to run things, how to operate stuff, and it takes years and years and years and years of education. And under those situations, like completely illegally and underground, to learn how when the revolution happens that we're ready to go take out the trash.
Okay, all right, like, you got this. Yeah, that's awesome.
So you'd have to be, like, you can't just take a ship up to the moon and say, all right, everybody, we're all anarcho-syndicalists. Everyone's going to do their own thing. We're all going to take pride in our work. We're all going to do it.
Smart people's shit still.
You can go, okay, everybody, because there's only 100 of us. So, like, there's probably 150, 200 people in this room. So we know that we could do this on the moon. So we go, okay, everybody. We all poop and we all eat. So there's 100 of you, and none of us wants to clean up poop. And I mean, maybe one guy would go, I love it. And
we'd go, like, okay, we made a mistake.
What's your name? Toby? Okay, Toby, fine. Sorry for the meeting. Let's talk. But assuming Toby doesn't exist, like, I go, okay, no one wants to clean up poop. But there's 100 of us. There's 100 people's worth of poop. The good news is if we all take turns, we only have to clean poop 1% of our lives.
That's a lot. That's a really high percentage. Dude.
You also, though, you get to do all the cool stuff like 1% of the time. Like there's all
kinds
of...
The poop, if people poop, let's say, once or twice or three times a day, that's you're doing it like a lot.
But
it's a lot of
this is a space colony. Like, you're pooping into a toilet that is suctioning your poop into a...
Oh, we just shoot it back to Earth.
Yeah.
No, because then Earth declares war on you.
Man, you know, just put like an NBC logo on it and like. That's dumb. That's a dumb joke.
It just says must see TV on it.
I was trying to think of a logo, like a corporate logo, and I blurted out the name of my employer.
That's never happened before.
In the podcast where we talked about terrorism being for brave people, and we went, the one thing tomorrow will be Dan Harmon blasts the peacock
with space poop.
Suggests that the mass opiate ain't having it.
If you do hurl the colonies,
the Charlie Sheen of writers blew up again last night. This time his lava mouth flowed about poop and NBC being the same. Click here for Bacardi.
You could send the poop back, though, because it would just burn up in Earth's atmosphere kind of harmlessly, wouldn't it?
Definitely. All you have to do is make it a little slower, and it'll burn up.
Yeah.
That's
the
great thing about the atmosphere. Automatic poop burner. Perfect. We're already nailing this. Just jettison, it'll be a symbolic like
now, because like you'd have to get that just right, because eventually you would create a pooposphere and the
a ring, a beautiful brown ring around.
Yeah, it's like a Saturn poop
it'll
ring.
Look beautiful.
Yeah, from the moon.
From the moon. Yeah.
From Earth, it would look like, oh shit, we're being satellited by shit.
Yeah, and we'll go, and that's a symbol of our power. Like leave, you know.
But then Earth attacks the moon, and because it's the poop wars, and they come get you.
I dare them to attack. Do you know how hard it would be for them to attack the moon?
We put some fuckers on there in 1969 with a digital watch,
and we haven't been back there since because it's that expensive and we're that
There's
lazy.
There's no real space program.
If we figure out a way to get back to the moon with 100 people, all we have to do is go to destroy the Earth. Basically, is go, hey Earth, fuck you, and then move 20 yards by the time they figure out how to invade where that signal came from, there's nothing there but 1,000 craters that were already there. Like, the moon is like a mega Afghanistan.
You have moon? I had a question, but let's talk about that a little bit. You have moon moving technology.
Honestly,
not moon. I'm not moving the moon. I'm saying 100 of us
just move over.
Move.
No, but they could land a robot on the moon, and we're like,
I would like to see that.
We've done it
because we're smart.
People on the Earth will still be people on the Earth. We're not saying
not smart people.
There's more than 100 smart people on Earth,
but they're sellouts, and that. And that will compromise them. If I've learned one thing, if I take the 100 people I want, I will have already removed, with just removing the 100 people that I want, Earth's passion will have been reduced by 90%.
I want to say, first of all, I would say that Mega Afghanistan is actually Pakistan.
Stop quoting your bumper stickers.
Guys, they're on sale over there. If we sell
the
100...
sign as you drive into Pakistan. Welcome to Pakistan.
Yeah, Mega Afghanistan. I don't know, maybe the tourism board needs a rewrite. The entire time, all I could see in my head was Adam Goldberg like wearing different disguises trying to get on the rocket ship.
I think I'd bring him.
Yes, I was gonna say you would take Adam, maybe, right?
I've said I put a statue to Adam Goldberg up in the front because like it's not there's a lot of real estate, so having a statue wouldn't be that big a deal.
All right,
everybody's got a statue, so don't get too excited.
Name to me some archetypes that you wouldn't want to bring along.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
That guy, the pee guy. The rhyming
urinal talking guy is probably not
rhyming
coming.
Frat guy is not coming.
Yeah.
Anybody who's ever said in their entire life, ever, like, and you'd have to somehow figure out a way to polygraphically prove this because people are going to, their instinct's going to be to lie when they find out what's at stake. Anyone who has ever in their entire life said too much information.
Or first world problems. Or white people problems.
Or dig a little deeper. Or tell us how you really feel.
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
Or didn't get the memo.
That's the first cut right there.
Yeah. On the...
Are you not coming?
I just like there's one like I know people that use it all the time. I just wish everybody would stop saying. At the end of the day, like I hate that drives me fucking mad.
Yeah, I say it all the time.
Yeah, but
own moon.
Everybody says yeah. I probably would have to have my own moon.
Yeah, it'd be like a
moon of the moon.
Yeah, it'd be like a little VIP moon.
Yeah,
so you get like we're already creating Earth on moon.
But I'm gonna get.
This is why we got away.
Yeah, but Adam Goldberg is gonna be there. And I'm gonna have to get out of.
I kind of like that, though, that we incorporate into our culture.
No offense, Adam. I love you. But,
I love you too, Jim.
There's 100...
Get off my moon.
100... Yeah, exactly. The moon's not big enough for the two of us, man. But I would let you come to VIP moon once in a while.
We incorporate into our moon another moon.
Once in a blue moon.
See? That's... Okay. Membership revoked.
By the way, people at home don't know he stood up to say that.
He stood up.
And either took a bow or his spinal problems are...
He stood up and said...
I'm sorry. Did that feel rude?
Yeah. No, it was funny.
But it looked like he took a bow.
He tipped an imaginary top hat when he did that. But no, it's like...
He had the expression on his face that he was expecting people to just carry him out on his shoulders.
It's like... I mean, I'm saying just for me, like, the ability to be alone in a crowd is the greatest thing in the world. The ability to get away, like, I love like everybody here that comes to these shows, like I've never had a bad experience here doing Harmontown. I've never been bummed out by anyone that's ever come. But when the show's over, I just leave. I want to go and get like kind of get away. And that's just my own like need to like to separate myself from crowds. Like,
but
100 people.
Where do you go?
Huh?
You don't go to.
But I like, can go to. I just have to go to another place. And I love.
There'll be so many places for you to go on the moon.
Where?
It's huge.
You would make you a little tiki bar called Jeff's Place. It doesn't.
No,
it's 100 people.
100 people. What if I wanted 100 different restaurant options? There can't be. Just, they can't. There'll be three restaurants.
No, there'll be more than three.
Who's going to work there?
The moon is huge.
Who's 100 people are going to man how many restaurants?
It's all automated, dude.
No, okay. Okay, if there's 99 restaurants and you all work in one, then that's fine with me.
Okay, here's the thing, Jeff. There's not going to be any restaurants.
What?
There's not
going to
be
Jeff.
Any...
Yeah, Jeff, no restaurants.
Okay.
Fuck you.
There's not going to be capitalism,
Jeff. I'm not saying it's about fucking quid pro quo and reciprocity. I'm saying there has to be... VIP Moon's going to have some fucking swinging restaurants up there. If you guys want to go have a nice meal.
Are you going to have Moon. That restaurant that you talk about called Leftovers or whatever, where it's like every... They get the bite taken out of it.
Oh, Real Abed's idea?
Yeah. Is that what that was?
Well, it's going to be called Space Bites.
Yeah.
But my moon will actually rotate. It won't be orbit locked like our moon. Mine will actually be like a revolving restaurant. You can actually have a revolving view of fake bullshit.
Okay,
moon.
Where do we...
You mean real moon?
Yeah.
We call it fake bullshit moon.
It's so, fake moon.
Because it's...
Yeah, we just call it moon.
On this fictional moon that you create.
Yeah, we're talking about shit that we can do. You're on a flight of fancy here.
We're trying to unite humanity. You're clinging to the very problems that made Earth uninhabitable.
With your magical VIP
moon. My moon is going to be called Phoenixville, and we're going to look down on moon, and we're going to go like, look, it's nice
it's
to
It's just
live.
Called moon.
Moon, yeah. We have a lot of names for the moon.
Moon.
The moon. But 100 fucking... You got to take a vacation and get off of the fucking moon.
It's so big.
It's but 100 people.
Going to the moon is the vacation.
All right. Is the moon totally like filled?
Oh, yeah. We've geo-whatever the entire thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's all mapped out.
What is it called?
You got 100 people.
Terraforming. We have terraformed the whole thing.
You terraform, so it's not just a dusty wasteland.
No, dude, it's great.
Then where's the restaurants?
Well, I don't know. First of
Dan,
all,
I'll let you take the restaurant.
We can't say we terraform the whole place like there's.
Is there going to be Mexican food? Because if there's no Mexican food, I'm going to VIP mode.
There will be Mexican food.
Here's what there's going to be, you guys.
There has to be Mexican people. How many Mexicans are you bringing up out of 100?
What are you talking? What in the world? We're leaving the Earth to get away from this horrible classism.
There is no war anymore.
I love Mexican people. I love Mexican food.
Will be three Mexican guys up there, and they'll all be brilliant painters.
Fine.
They're not going to bring you food.
Okay.
Somehow that's very offensive too. But they're going to be great lovers.
I'm bringing Pedro Almodóvar. Yeah.
We're going to need more than 100 people is what I'm saying. That's a lot of shit to get done, and 100 people aren't
going
to do it.
I don't understand. There's a lot of shit to get done. No, we're just going up there to exist in peace. You could do it with three people.
Yeah, a small community, if everyone knows each other's name, to me, it sounds like hell.
Oh, right? My God. That's heaven to me. I live in a rock covered with 7 billion people whose names I never know.
Yeah, but...
I could finally be that guy that walks into a room and goes, Mike, Kevin, Barbara, Stacy. I should throw some ethnic names in there.
Armadice.
Almodóvar.
Armadice, you're coming. You're Mexican, right?
Armadice. Right, okay. Anatoly. He counts, right?
Yeah. He counts, totally.
Spencer. Enti. Oh, my God, Enti.
Here's the question. You don't like to travel. You would love to have you're a hermit. You would love to have build a giant Danadu wherever.
Love to not feel like a dick everywhere I go. I go to Channel 101. I go even out here after the show. Jeff, what time is it? Look, 9/11. So much of my life is spent with this interaction. People coming up and going, hey! And I go, hey! And I look at their face and I recognize the expression of a person who
knows you,
believes that I should know their name.
Yeah.
And that's everybody.
We all go through that.
I go through it more than other people, I think. I am miserable about it. I very much enjoy walking into a room and knowing who everybody is. I hate having to go through that. It makes me very aloof seeming and makes me very uncomfortable. It makes me have to stare at the floor, and it's already hard enough to interact with people. I could, like, if I actually could recognize people.
You wouldn't get sick of the same people that you knew all the time?
I mean, 100 people, that's like a big apple to bite. Like I said, by the time I would get bored with them, I think it would be 20 years later. Not only would I be dying, but there would be all these new people.
But they would be children.
No, those are 20-year-old people. We're going to start fucking as soon as we get up there.
By the way,
100 people fucking is like, that's not...
Have you looked at the Earth lately? 100 people fucking leads to this.
Yeah.
No. By the way, I know what's going to happen is in like 20 years on the moon, you guys are going to be like fierce enemies in these stories. Like, remember on Earth, they used to be friends. Like how Superman and Lex Luthor went to school together in Smallville.
What if you took the... What if you took half of the moon and there was like a it was the capitalist side or
this
something?
This is how it starts.
I despise capitalism. I don't want capitalism. Right. I don't want capitalism. I want excursions.
You want fancy restaurants.
For instance, but I also want to be able. I want variety. I want the unknown. I would need to be able to travel. I like going to places where I don't speak the language. You despise them.
Well,
you
but
don't
there's
like
no.
Going.
Why are you going to the moon at all then? If you want to go to places,
I'm starting to rethink it. Now, if you're a citizen of the moon, do you have the ability to go back if you ever want to like take a vacation back to like Italy or something like that?
I can't allow that.
I think VIP moon.
I'm kidding. I'm assuming that there's going to have to be an awful lot of back and forth. You know, the first people that
think so?
Yeah, there would have to be that. Like for instance, and then I think also like that could be part of the culture is that. The moon is like a. There would be people like I would look at it as like a sieve kind of, or I don't know how to articulate the process. Like it's an optional. You like there's a shuttle that goes back and forth every year, right? So you like over time, the people that end up populating the moon are people that actually do enjoy it. No one that actually doesn't like it has to be there longer than a certain interval. And then like over time, even the gene pool is just like people that actually
okay,
are
so you
into
got a,
the moon.
You got 100 people that start fucking day one, and 18 years later, there's a bunch of 18-year-olds running around. They're not all going to be guaranteed likable people. What if there's some fratty?
But they're raised
then they,
well.
Then they get to go away like that. What if
they don't want to go? Their family's up there. Everyone they know is up there.
They're not going to like their family if they're uncool. Their families are going to be cool.
That's not necessarily.
And they'll raise
so.
Their kids to
well,
be
I'm
cool.
I'm not going to bring uncool people to the moon. No one uncool is going to like being there. I'm going to create an environment that uncool people do not like.
Uncool people could have uncool kids. I mean, cool people could have uncool kids.
Right, and then the uncool kids get to leave. And you said, but their families are going to be there. If their families are cool.
They don't like their families if they're uncool.
Yeah. I see that. That's oversimplifying it.
Oversimplifying?
Sometimes I wish my family was on the moon so I could just come to Earth forever.
You know, I think
that's... And I, no, oh, God, what was going to happen here? But I honestly think, like, for a lot of people, being away from their families forever would be something that they want to
do. What about this? Okay. At the end of each year, and who knows what a year is when you're on the moon. I don't know how that works.
It's 365
days. How is day and night going to work?
I don't know. I can't wait to find out.
It works the same because it's locked. The orbit is locked around.
All right, smarty pants. At the end of each year...
Right?
No? The moon is geostationary, but the sun still goes around it because that's how we get the phases of the moon.
Right.
So the dark side of the moon is not actually dark.
It's dark to us.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, no, we know that, but doesn't the moon
We don't know that. Kumail knows that.
The moon is locked in a geostationary orbit, which means the sun is facing us, right? But then when the sun is perpendicular to it, we see half the moon as being dark.
Yeah.
That means the side that's away from us is lit up.
Right.
So how long is a moon year, Bill?
Well, it takes like a month to go around the Earth once, right? It takes like 28 days or something. But then days and nights are going to be totally different. It's not going to be 24 hours.
It's going to be 1 month.
1 day is going to be 1 month?
Yeah.
This is great. I'll be able to write scripts so much faster. This is already... I'm not even living there yet.
Yeah, I'll get it to you tomorrow.
Yeah. I might have to jerk off for a couple, air quotes, hours. but okay, so whatever a moon year is, you have a big party.
We have a hand up. Yes, sir.
Yes. In addition to jerking off, what would be your favorite moon activities? I'm thinking of specifically zero gravity.
Oh, right.
Well, it's one sixth gravity. It's 1/6 gravity. What, so he's saying, other than jerking off, what would be your favorite 1/6 gravity
Right now, at this point, I can't see past the joy of being just left alone, largely. Like, I like talking to people and drinking, and I don't know if I would take a lot of advantage of the 1/6 gravity and play a lot of football or anything.
I would think that you probably would create... indoors, it would be normal gravity, Earth gravity,
probably.
Right? You don't want people like slowly, like, you know.
But I mean, given that gravity would have to be artificially induced,
sure.
So, which means that making a fun room would be as simple as putting less work into it. Yeah. I guess there would be like, you know, places you could go where you could go, woo, I'm only 30 pounds. I don't know if I'd hang out there. I think I'd just have like a kind of a log cabin feel.
For you, the moon in itself, there's nothing special about the moon that it's a destination.
No, it's just not on Earth.
You just hate groups of people and you don't want...
I don't want to be subject to, tyranny. And then the moon is like still free rock.
I'm afraid of my own extreme abject boredom up there with only like a small amount of options. Like I like...
But
like,
how many people do you see? Like how many different places do you go to in a month?
Dozens? Hundreds? I don't know. Like whatever.
Hundreds?
Also, if I want to, I can take a trip. I can go somewhere. I'll leave. And
just
like,
the option is enough.
Yeah, certainly. Like if you go to New York, the idea, like it's incredibly calming. I don't want to live in New York, but I love being in New York because the idea that you can do anything you want at any time of day.
I wish I would stand in a plexiglass cube. If somehow you could construct one where it was like, oh, you're allowed to think, say, and feel and do whatever you want while you're standing in this space, and you're not accountable to it at all. Like,
could you bring someone else in there with you? Or
no, I'm saying this is how extreme my alienation is from society. Like, if I could just have a 3-foot square patch of pee-pee pad for a dog, like where if I stood on it, I was not like capable of being a bad person for feeling something or saying something or doing something. Like that would be such a huge
you
get
can just do that
me.
In a bathroom here just
no you cannot
door. Why
you cannot? Because there is always going to be something that you can do in the even in the privacy of your own home. You are always under the fucking rule of morons. You are never free, you know. And I said, like, the moon is literally separate from this planet of just fucking insect people. Like they will get you somehow. And I don't care that there's no oxygen there. That's secondary to my goddamn freedom. I just want to stand somewhere for a little bit. I love being asleep because they're not fucking with me there. But in my dreams, they're still like, stop it. Shut up. Knock it off. What are you doing? Just tie your shoes. Take a bath. I just...
But that's
Wait,
you.
Who?
That's you talking to yourself.
No, that's them, man. That's them.
Yeah, society's telling you to take a bath.
It sure is.
I know that this is all just like, you know, hypothetical, like this is in the planning stages. But like, if you whatever number of people you picked, you're going to obviously have to pick them, and you're going to have the rules of who they are. And then there's also going to have to be rules of conduct. And my fear is that you are going to become some sort of weird autocratic tyrant.
It will be true anarchy. Defined by the fact that there is no the you know how like kind of in the Judeo-Christian ethic, and you know, lump in all of them. I we say Judeo-Christian ethic. That's actually not probably politically correct anymore. Like the truth is, all of the new major religions, like they all have an anti-murder policy. You know, like it's like what is the worst thing that you can do? Like inherently, what is the fiber of evil? Like any major religion will tell you, yeah, killing another dude. Like that's not, don't do that. And then they start with the asterisk. So, well, if the government wants to, if you have to do it for me, I'd love it. But like on the moon, of course, killing that's not even going to come into the picture. You're never going to get there. Like the before you even get there, the big fucking taboo is going to be hierarchy. Any implication or thirst for it will be condemned. like frowned upon. It won't even be. It's like, why are you talking to me as if I'm beneath or above you? At all. Don't do it. Don't talk to me like I'm in charge of you, and don't talk to me like you're in charge of me. Non-hierarchical humanity, like in a bunch of grapes, like existing. We're
but hierarchies happen. With 100 people, there's gonna be hierarchies.
We are always tempted to do it. We're tempted to do lots of things that we have risen above.
Ideally, those hierarchies would be based on knowledge. They'd be based on
but
seniority.
Even that isn't that still sort of what you don't
but
want?
I have boogers in my nose that will fall out. I have snot in my mucous membranes. I have spit in my mouth. I have turds in my butt. We are born not knowing the alphabet. We educate and refine ourselves. We rise to something. There's a mimetic evolution to our species in addition to the genetic evolution that we've all but halted, you know, by for good reasons, by going like, oh, he wears glasses, but I'm hot for him because he's smart. Like okay, so say hello to a myopic species. But yeah. But like we chose to advance ourselves over being giraffes and going like, little bit of a longer neck, please. Like, fuck those guys. They're dead to us. These giraffes are going to be dead pretty soon. We're the only things that have a chance of getting off of this fucking piece of shit. No, it's not a piece of shit planet. It's pretty nice. It's got waterfalls. But I'm saying that we achieved the ability to feel to be about to do something naturally, raise our fist. Hate something, and then we go, oh no, but my species, like, even if not biologically, I don't do that. When I was a baby, that was like touching a hot stove. I don't do that. I don't think about hierarchy. I have a word for it. I know what it is. I recognize it when I see it. I don't hit another person in the face with a toy fire truck, because when I did that the first time when I was 1 year old, I was told, don't do that.
But
stop
I don't
it.
Think I think we have hierarchy now. The way I mean, you called the most of Earth insect people. I think that's just how we do sort of
because they love hierarchy.
But I don't. That's really weird logic.
No, well,
because they like hierarchy.
It's ironic logic, but it's not flawed. Like I look down on people who express hierarchy.
You look down on people who look down on people.
Exactly, or up to people. Right. I look down on everybody because we are caught in this infantile thing of thinking that we need leaders, heroes, government. Are you fucking kidding me? We're not this smart yet? How the internet is proving to us. You know, I mean, I understand that it has its own like every of these governances emerge, but in their infancy, like forums, like Reddit and like it's the internet is global. Like you upvote this, you downvote that. It's relatively, it's not purely devoid of hierarchy, but it's functional without hierarchy. It's like it's not necessary for us to go, hey, there's Carl. I love Carl. I love Carl too. I love Carl. Carl's popular today. He doesn't have to get a better parking space. He doesn't have to tell us what to do. That is infantile. It is literally infantile. It's an instinct that we carry into adulthood from infancy. We start to look at Barack Obama or whoever's running for anything. We have like democracy. We go. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's got to be somebody's fault when it rains. Like, it's not going to be me. I'm not going to take responsibility for it. I'm not just going to hang out with my friends and, like, as a group, like, constantly communicate with them, say everything that's on my mind. I want to go in my house and keep everything to myself and sit on a bowl of ice cream and then get on the computer and go, fuck Obama, it rained today. Like, it's all childish nonsense. But we are responsible for everything that happens. Our species has inherited the planet, and we know all of this in our heads, but we continue to worship heroes and leaders. But what do to them? We crucify them. We take people, we put them on the covers of magazines, and then we figure out why they're pieces of shit. We do this over and over and over again in this cycle, this ritual of telling ourselves over and over and over, nodding like Rain Man in the back of a truck with a straitjacket on. We're going, yeah, change is bad. Change is bad. Yeah, I'm not responsible. I'm not responsible
by
at all.
By the way,
change is bad.
Irony of
Somebody's Adam Goldberg.
The irony of the irony of you saying,
Adam, I am not above you, but don't ever clap for me because it fucks everything up.
I like that you're saying you're not above anyone while we're all performing in front of a 3-foot face of you, and we're all at a place called Harmontown.
Let's bring Spencer out right now. Spencer Crimson, will you come join us?
But that's anyone can do this. Anyone can print a 3-foot.
But some people don't want to do it. In the
exactly. No, some people don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I want to go to her show. I don't like on Wednesday night if she has a show.
You don't want to go to her show.
What's your show?
What was the last show you went to? You fucking. And also, you talk about responsibility. You're like.
Yeah, you just want to be king of the moon.
I don't just want to be king of the moon. I want to live there.
No,
that's
you
not
don't.
True. That's not true.
How often do you pick up your dog's poop?
What?
How often do you pick up Harvey's shit?
I don't know, like every 8th shit. I don't know.
What about the other 7? Who picks up those?
Erin works.
She doesn't pick up the other 7 shits.
Yeah, she does.
Does she really?
Yeah, what are you, where's this going?
I feel like you don't clean your own place. You rely on other people all the time for other things. Like, you're going to be Mr. Responsible on the moon? You're going to grow your
own
food?
I'm not going to have a mansion on the moon.
You're not?
No.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to have a fucking, like, Buck Rogers cubicle. I don't know. Like, it's not going to be like it
is here.
You're
going to rely on people.
It's going
to
be a whole different paradigm shift. There's not going to be property up there.
Do you think you're ready to go up there and have and be responsible for your own survival, for your own daily needs?
I will have to be, and the 100 people with me will be responsible for each other and ourselves. And we're not going to be like, oh, is it my house is bigger? The idea of a big house. Think about how absurd that is. It doesn't make any sense. Do you know how fucking medieval that is? Oh, my house is bigger. Do you know where that comes from? The idea, it's slavery. The patch of earth that you're allowed to occupy is a little bigger.
You live in a big house right now.
Yeah, course I do. The earth is occupied. It's an occupied status with slaves. I want the biggest house I can fucking get. I want the most money. I want a big bag of cocaine. I want 11 dogs. I want as much luxury. But I above all of that, I'd love to be on a world that didn't have to have that shit.
You don't have to have that here.
You don't.
What
have
are you
to
talking
have
about? You'd
you
be homeless if you didn't
it.
Have that.
No, the kingdom of God is within
and
you.
And then police hit you with a stick if you don't have enough. It's illegal to be poor here. They make your life miserable.
There's a
freedom is a product that they sell you.
You don't have to have a house called Danadu. You don't have to have that place.
You're insane. Like what? Yes, we all want big houses because we live on a planet owned by people who have sold us the idea that the amount of space you can walk in is an expression of freedom. We were born out of vaginas. We had freedom of speech. We have the freedom of locomotion.
Nobody's talking in a vagina.
We are already allowed to do everything, and we have been convinced that, oh, well, no, you want to park your car there. Well, hey, look, man, a lot of people want to park their car there. You gotta give me $5. On a Tuesday, you parked your car there. That's gonna cost you $80. We gotta clean the streets. You gotta tow that thing. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? What are you talking about? It's insanity.
You're gonna be such a nightmare despot.
I'm not gonna have to be. I'm gonna go up there. I'm gonna sleep like a baby for 9 hours a day.
You're gonna go up there thinking that you're gonna be in control of the minds of 100 people.
No, I'm
yeah,
not.
The fact that you pick them already gives you power
well,
over
they gotta
everyone
be cool.
else.
And, yeah,
they gotta be cool.
And the fact that you have incredibly like bizarre expectations about behavior of a bunch of different minds, a bunch of different entities.
Yeah, don't you need like someone to be in charge of a situation? Like, even tiny situations, you need someone to be in charge, right?
Is that Big Red?
Yeah.
Who is that? Who is that?
Me.
Is that Big Red?
No.
Oh. What's your name, sir?
It's Ryan Drain.
Ryan, hello, Ryan. I'm being devil's advocate here, but like I think that like in a properly functioning society, we don't need government, we don't need hierarchies, we don't need power, we don't need to enforce certain people having and holding power over other people. People have the ability in small communities to make decisions as a group.
Have there been any sustainable communities that have lasted beyond a few years that have had no hierarchy?
Yes, but let me just answer his question really quick, and you can answer the specific example that I know that you have. I like the answer, sir, is when there's a fire, when there's a, which is what you're talking about. You don't have to have hierarchy in order to have a person who is the designated fire marshal. You don't have to have hierarchy in order to have responsibility. You can have 100 people get together and agree on how to get shit done efficiently without anybody being better than anyone else and having more or less rights than anyone else. You can actually just organize as a group of people. That is another fucking lie that's been told to us, is that anarchy means chaos. Those are not synonymous words. Anarchy means not governed. It means non-hierarchical.
It means self-governance.
It means no rule. And as Mikhail Bakunin said, I think, he said anarchy is the mother of order. That the idea that capitalism and government with enforced unemployment for to keep prices at a certain wages at a certain place, enforced famine, war, all this stuff, that's chaos. That's incredible disorder. That's the word anarchy has been you know, turned into something else. I believe that people living in communities and making their own decisions, like in the in Barcelona and like after, during the Spanish Civil War and the communes there, when the civil wars happened, the governments fell apart, and there was a provisional government, and everything went to shit. Women started throwing off prostitution. They started shrugging off machismo and started doing, like, actually becoming powerful members of society. And scholars, teachers, and universities swept up the floors and cleaned the toilets after they were done teaching because they felt pride in their universities. And the buses ran, the sewers got cleaned, and then all of the fascists from both sides, from Franco, or I'm not going to fuck the names up, but, like, you know, the communists and then the fascists, they all looked at these people all living freely and starting to spread across Western Europe. They all just turned their guns on them and annihilated them, because the idea that people could actually properly function, if educated, if turned on by the idea that humanity actually has an incredible desire to get along. Kids in a sandlot absolutely share and they play and they're not bigoted and they're not racist. We enforce all this shit on them.
Kids are assholes. What are you talking about?
No, we make kids assholes. Kids solve fucking problems beautifully if you let them. And if you don't enforce the idea that guys are cooler than girls and bullies and like there's enforced, you know, like property and shit like that. I've seen kids like beautifully behave on each other. Like if you give people respect, like Tolstoy, even though he was like a landowner, he had all these serfs and he freed them all, but he had these schools and he would let the kids teach themselves. He's like, what do you want to learn today? And everybody learned. You could sit wherever you wanted. Like, they had this incredible education, and these textbooks that he made were outlawed under Stalinism and stuff because they were so cool. Because the idea that actually people...
Is that what they officially said?
Yes.
Is that what Tolstoy said?
Yeah, Stalin,
is that
what the anti-cool law.
Yeah. You go to Lenin's tomb and there's like a placard that says no cool textbooks.
Yeah. It says cool and that no smoking sound around that.
It's like Marxism became a Pringles commercial.
Yeah, I've always been an anarchist at heart, but the idea is the only bummer is that people actually would have to have thought about it and have to be... we say take responsibility for your life, but that means so much more than just saying, yeah, I'll be responsible. It's like really like it's taking care of your children, taking care of your elderly, taking care of yourself, not relying on everybody else to do everything for you, but also being able to shrug off shit like sexism and misogyny and racism and these giant things that we just taught each other to give to necessitate power and people's control over each other. It sounds great. It's been done. What happens is governments come in and assassinate you.
Not on the moon. Because there's nothing up there. There's no oil up there. There's no money up there. There's no diamonds up there.
Yeah, we have a shit ring protecting us.
You go very quietly. You pitch a tent.
I'm all for it.
Now, there's no restaurants. There's
for it. I'm going to need some Mexican food.
Okay. We're going to work on this.
The way to do that is I'll make the Mexican food. I'll try my best. I'll run a little Mexican restaurant.
And yes... Yes, I am picking the people that are going up there because you're
going to be a king and
if
you're going to be
go
a despot.
No, because in that town you described, the fucking fascists turned the guns on them because there's people down here. I can't go up there with a bunch of fetuses and hatch them and be one of them too. I have to pick cool people to end the hierarchy. I have to pick and choose out of the 7 billion people.
You have to pick and choose. That's the flawed right there.
It's not a flaw. It's the only way it's going to happen.
That's going to be your slogan.
No, I'm
going to
wait until someone else does it. That's how it's going to happen.
But how do you pick? How do you know what's the question?
That's what I was saying.
I don't know. I'm going to try. And you're pointing at the insinuation that I'm going to do something as the inherent flaw of doing it.
I'm saying, how do you know what the coolest 100 people are?
Maybe I won't, N-word, but I'm going to fucking, like, I'm gonna fucking take a spectacular attempt.
I think you just lost
how
a lot
many
of
black people out of how many black people out of 100 are you bringing?
18%.
Okay, all right.
No, I don't know. I'm gonna have to come up with a methodology that's gonna make sure that there's some kind of ethnic blind.
I love the idea that you would try to do this. I just wonder, like, do you trust yourself to pick the right 100 people?
No, and obviously then to let it go. You know, the truth is, like, because then you get into that. Are you gonna take? Are you gonna go to all 7 continents? Am I gonna take? Like, it's gonna be English speaking. Like, it's gonna be American people. Like, it's gonna be flawed because I want to get it done. I'm not going to do it perfectly. I'm going to just do it. I'm not going to do it perfectly. I'm not gonna answer to 1,000 people gathering around me going, oh, well, if you do it this way, isn't you doing it? Like, shut it. I'm doing it.
Wait. You're saying there's no hierarchy by telling people to shut it.
Insect people.
Okay.
A planet of fucking idiots.
I don't like who you've become already, Dan. I think I might stay on Earth for the first few years, like Breaking Bad,
yeah,
and wait until it comes out on DVD.
You wait it out, but I'm telling you, when you get up there,
it's gonna be great.
Yeah. You're not getting a wristband to the one fancy restaurant we have.
You have a fancy restaurant
now. Maybe just to fuck with you.
Wristbands. Hierarchy.
Wristbands.
Judas.
It starts with wristbands. Literally things around your wrist that signify.
It's going to be for one nightclub that's going to be called Fuck with Jeff.
Fine.
So that when he gets up there, we're going to go, hey, you coming to the club? Oh, shit, you weren't here for the first 2 years.
We'll
you were waiting it out.
Can we just
tattoo specific serial numbers on the people who can go.
Can we play a little D&D right now? And can we try to enforce some of our new anarcho-syndicalism? Our little. Can we try out a little... Like try some of this philosophy.
When we fight a spider? Yeah, I guess.
Hey, Spencer.
Hey, guys.
What do you think, Spencer? Do you believe in me?
I think that you'd run into a problem of you'd have a hierarchy police. There'd be people that are like, oh, you're using wristbands. You got to get off the moon.
They're part of the...
Yeah, but that's going to happen because otherwise you'd have hierarchy, right? But so it's
I don't know. There's got to be a way. The Vulcans figured out how to...
Humans are fucked.
People are clapping because Spencer hates humanity.
Yeah.
But it even sounds like inspiring when he says it.
No, I mean, the thing is, like, you know, like...
If it's true that humans are fucked, then what better way to spend the last decades of our fuckedness just fucked for the fuck of it, just fucking around with the idea that we're not fucked? Like, why not just... Fine, we're fucked. We can be fucked by doing nothing, or we can be fucked doing...
Trying. We could be fucked trying.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here. We're spitballing. We're trying to get this right, you know? I'm asking you the tough questions
now. What you guys did tonight was called spitballing. I felt very persecuted. And I'm really rethinking your moon status.
See? This is what we're
Dan,
up!
Dan, I gotta
you
tell
you... You guys are very hierarchical, and it does not please me.
Dan, the idea that you're not going to become a despot up there, I think, is that you need to look into that because you're almost certainly going to be disappointed and start making mandates and rules.
Whatever, buddy.
Spencer, what do you think about it all?
But I had a cat that I named based off of a promise I made ages ago.
Well,
that's a really long throwback.
The bagel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I wrote down one time, I used to carry a journal and I just write down thoughts and stuff, and I wrote down cat named Jason. And then my friend was like, do you want a cat? And I was like, okay. And it was a girl, but I named it Jason.
And how long did Jason, is Jason still with you?
Jason's still with us.
And Jason is great.
She's digging it.
Okay. Are there going to be animals on the moon? I'm sorry, I don't mean to go back into this.
No, that's a good question. I never thought
about
that.
Would they get equal rights?
No.
The dog gets a vote. We're eating kibble every day.
No, I wish that there was a way that we could never leave more than a footprint on the other species that we cross paths with. But I believe that until we get our shit together, that the most prudent philosophy is to consider humanity to be the absolute most important thing. Whether or not there'd be dogs and cats up there, I don't know. That's a good question.
Oh, and we're not disagreeing with you. We're challenging you to figure out how this is going to go.
I don't know.
I don't like your dominance over animals already, man.
We're gonna continue this. This podcast has now become about colonizing the moon. And we're gonna really do it. Hey, where's that guy? Where's that guy that worked at that space factory? What's his name?
Jesus.
Jesus Diaz.
Moved to Long Beach.
Moved to Long Beach,
which is the moon of Earth.
So he. It's the moon.
The moon is kind of.
I know the
Long
moon
Beach.
Is the moon of Earth. Yeah, yeah.
He lives in Long Beach and can't make this show, but we're going to take him to the moon? Forget it.
Nobody from Long Beach is coming.
I was born in Long Beach.
Well, no, but you've transcended it.
Thank you. Thank you, man.
You know you have.
I'm sorry about the...
Don't bring it up again.
Well, that sounds cute. It sounds like a little robot.
Yeah. You want to live in a society where that is okay to do, right?
Well, I mean, it's funny because it's so wrong. I mean, it's so not accurate and it's mean and it's just
yeah,
stupid.
That's not the sound I was going to say we make.
There's no ululating in Pakistani culture?
No, we're not like taught as kids to go, I'm not even going to do it.
Is there no ululating there? No one does that?
I never saw it once.
Okay.
I was there for 18 years.
Okay, so
it was done secretly. I don't know. Okay. But it's hard to do secretly.
As long as we're apologizing, I'm sorry, Adam. I didn't mean... I said when he stood up and he took a bow, I was just making the observation of spinal problems.
You said you'd have a statue to him. He's doing
which he's
great.
Referenced, but it came out, the audience reacted as if I was being a bully and saying, his spine doesn't work right. It's not. That's not wasn't what... I'm sorry if it came across like that.
What do you think, Adam?
Blue Moon wasn't very good.
Blue Moon could use some work, but we still love your efforts. Now, Adam, we adore you. We love you. Thank you for coming.
Can I share? I kind of like the Blue Moon joke.
It was better than anything I had. He came up with, what was the skeleton one the other day?
Bone Voyage.
Bone Voyage. Yeah, that will never be forgotten. Yeah. All right, Spencer, voyage. Catch us up, and we'll do a little anarchist D&D right now.
Hold up, and...
Last time on Harmontown, our heroes were in the hall of the Jarl of Fornheim.
Oh, that dick.
The frozen city. The party hoped to gain some assistance in defeating Admiral Darkstar and asked the Jarl, Livdahl, for aid. But the giant noticed right away that they had collected some of the fragments of power and wanted them for himself. This remark incensed Sharpie, who railed against the unjolly blue giant, unleashing a verbal teeth-dicking. The giant responded by stomping on Sharpie, leaving him dying, broken in body but not mind. Mulrain, however, had suffered a broken mind.
Thank you, Spencer.
And began furiously courting the Jarl's favor. But Chris DeBerg called him out on his bullshit, for which he also suffered a boot to the head, but survived. Weighing the situation, Quark alternated between rage and bargaining, but Sharpie continued to hurl insults at the giant until the Jarl murdered the dying man, snuffing it out with his blue thumb. After an insanity of commotion and action set at the same time, Quark decided to trade shards for a skeleton army and Sharpie's life. And Livdahl resurrected the slain sorcerer before sending them on their way. Now.
I forgot. That was really intense what we did in that throne room or whatever. Guys?
We all went through a lot. My favorite moment, if I could step out of the thing, was you actually stood up and went, okay, guys, there's a lot of emotions going on right now.
There was a lot going on. Yeah. I don't think we'll forget the day within the D&D world and also in real life.
I won't.
So we have our skeleton army right now. Now it seems a little hierarchical right now to have kind of soldiers.
Well, we do the thing that Daenerys Targaryen does in Game of Thrones, where they're like, "You're free, but you could totally like still like help us out."
Yeah, I do that. I say to the skeletons like, "Hey, you're free, but blah blah blah."
Yeah, you're free, but you know, if you want to help us out, I mean, we did free you. We did pick you to come to the moon. So you know, if you want to do me a little favor, here's some wristbands.
All
I feel like it's unfair to use the wristband. That's my joke. I was joking. The wristbands were ironic, and then you guys are like, wristbands. I'm like, that's the joke.
But the moment they became convenient for your joke, you put another wristband on, man.
Wait, I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Yeah, you never will, man. You never will.
Yeah. You gotta hate wristbands to get that
you
joke.
You got a wristband on your mind, man.
Yeah, the wristband's not on your wrist, man.
Anatoly, you know what I'm talking about. You come from Mother Russia. Like your grandparents didn't have hierarchy, kind of, except they had one big hierarchy over them.
Anatoly, were Tolstoy's books totally cool?
Yeah, I like them.
You like them?
All right.
So we got our army. Where do we need?
Were
to get
you
to?
Actually gonna Daenerys them?
Oh yeah, do you want to make the speech there?
Oh yeah.
I don't think we should do that because they're skeletons that were conjured by a frost giant. They're not people.
Are they just things and not people? Do they have personalities and names?
They are skeletons, you know.
Can we name them 1 through 40 and that's how we give them a little bit of.
That is something you could do.
All right, we went through a lot. Let's just take our army and let's press forward. You know?
All right, we'll 1 through 40. We tattoo the numbers on their wrists.
All right, so do we need
not
to
not in a bad way?
Do we need to get directions to where Admiral Darkstar's fortification is? Or
yeah, well, I mean, you're still in the giant city. You're just not in the palace anymore. So
let's exit the city and go to the Admiral Darkstar's thing, right?
Yeah, let's drop by and pay him a visit.
Yeah, okay. Let's go.
You leave the city, heading north towards the Black Keep. Soon you come to a massive ice canyon, a great rift in the sheer cliff of ice. You'll have to pass through the canyon in order to reach Admiral Darkstar.
No bridge?
Well, no. It's like you're at the bottom of a cliff and there's like a canyon going through it. So
we should walk into the canyon?
You could try and climb up it, but it's hundreds of feet and you'd need more rope probably.
All right,
wait, climb up it? Or I'm sorry.
You're at the bottom of a cliff, right. And the only way through the cliff is this canyon that's cutting through the cliff. Oh. Otherwise, you'd have to go up the cliff.
Oh, I see. So we're being directed into like a tunnel.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Should we take a vote with us and also the 40 skeletons? Or
skeletons, what do you think?
They look on, dead eyes.
The eyes are above the nose.
That's accurate, yeah.
They're not going to climb anywhere with us. I mean, we're not going to be crafty. Let's just proceed into this canyon.
Let's do it. Let's go.
All right, skeletons first.
Inside the canyon, you can hear howling wind, but you feel cold beginning to sink in. Your lack of wintry clothing is beginning to take its toll on your bodies, numbing your fingers and biting your skin.
Can we take clothes from the skeletons?
Sure.
Are they wearing clothes?
They're wearing heavy black cloaks.
Yeah, they're skeletons. They don't have dicks to be ashamed of.
They don't have zipper scars on them?
How do you think cloaks work, by the way? Like, what do you think the cloaks are? All right, let's take some cloaks.
All right. That happens.
Thank you, 37.
Thank you, 8.
Thank you, 13.
You feel warmer, but still, it's not doing it. You're going to have to get out of exposure within the next, evening or so. Otherwise, you might get too cold.
In the canyon, are there any, caves that we can sort of...
You'd have to go deeper in the canyon to try and find something like that.
How much time do we have before nightfall?
Plenty of time.
I said we press on.
We have to find shelter,
you guys. Let's move along.
Immediately, you hear a skittering, chittering, chirping sound coming from all around you.
Oh, see? We found a forest.
White, flittering shapes swoop down from above into the canyon. Thousands of these strange, chittering white shapes moving about as if a cloud of gnats.
Hello, fairies. Are you here to warm us?
That's positive thinking.
They are not.
How do we know that they're not?
You just get that sense after you ask the question.
Are they coming straight for us?
They're kind of descending. It's kind of descending into the canyon all around you, and you kind of feel the wind whip up, and you feel kind of slashes.
I have an armlet of winter. That's not going to help. It's going to make things more cold. Don't you have armlets that we can do things with?
I have an armlet of spring, but it's really, I need to be in a springy environment in order to, I can summon armor of thorny vines, and I can command the vines to blah, blah, blah. And
these guys are so small, though. I don't know how we would.
I mean, I'm assuming we have torches lit and stuff?
No.
Okay, well, I would like to light a torch.
Okay.
All right, and hold it aloft.
All right. You do that. It's the wind's whipping around pretty brilliantly, but you've managed to create like the world's best wind block to light this torch, and
Thank you. That happens.
But the howling wind at the same time, it kind of bites at your guys' heels and exposed skin, and you take 2 damage each.
What the hell?
Shit.
Oh, come on. Are the skeletons okay with them?
What's somebody?
The skeletons are immune.
I'm using my tooth fillings of hearing voices to ask that person to repeat what he just shouted out.
Magic.
Magic.
Elements.
Elements.
Resist elements. Do we have that?
I don't think we have any magic people up
I'm
here.
I'm pretty sure Maury knows that spell.
Oh. Okay.
She's watching Breaking Bad.
Okay, Maureen, cast resist elements.
Is she here? Or how does this work when she's
I don't
here?
Know.
Gonna Let's have Anatoly pretty... play Maureen.
Anatoly, get up here.
Tonight, the role of Maureen Sedana will be played
do
by
you
Anatoly.
Give this?
Anatoly, say I cast resist elements.
Don't do it. Be anarchical about it.
Okay, yeah. I cast resist elements.
Good Russian. Okay.
You right. guys feel like you're resisting elements.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, good All right, work, sit down, Maureen.
Wow.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
All right. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Okay, this is going to sound crazy. I think we should put on a show.
I love shows. Let's do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Me too.
Oh, my God. We put on a show. She's gonna be so pissed that we did a show.
We put on the best show ever.
Well,
it's like the Breaking Bad of D&D shows.
What do you do?
Well, I come downstage and I set the stage for like it's a period piece. I go, in a land without time, 2 peacocks fell in love. One from the House of Featherdom, the other from the House of Raven.
And then the camera cranes up and points down, and it's a Busby Berkeley shot of me like Esther Williams, and I'm swimming around in the snow, and all the skeletons are doing a kaleidoscope with their bones. and the gnats are swirling around. And it's a big, huge like MGM kind of musical number.
Oh, birds of a feather, never, never together.
When you're in the snow and you don't know where to go, you need to find a cave. Your lives there will be saved. And then there's a little like a little ice pool, and then all the skeletons are lined up, and they all start diving in like that. Right. They do the diving.
I rub some snow on my face so I have a white beard, and then I open a mime door and I come in and go, "You knock it off! You owe me the rent."
Yeah. But I can't pay the rent.
You must pay the rent.
I'll pay the rent. I made a snowman that looks like a hero, and then the camera widens out, and I've made snowmen out of every character we've met in our entire campaign. and they're all there, so it's like a big, huge production number where everybody we've met is
and
created.
I sing a song, and everyone's like, oh, here he goes. But it's a new song. It's not Lady in Red, and it's the best fucking song you've ever
heard. Whoa!
It's amazing. It's moving and funny and inspiring and a catchy tune.
Krista Berg, we had to come this far for you to be inspired to write a new hit.
And all it took was putting on a show. Thank God we had this idea.
Mulrain.
And at this point...
Mulrain, I can't believe that you just sat there and watched and didn't join in the show at all.
I'm doing nothing because, like, I amped after last week's show, so, like, yeah. Yeah, I have nothing.
She's not into it. And all the evil gnats are crying through smiles.
Suffice it to say, it's a great show.
Oh, we should have a final line for the show, right?
Yeah. The moral of the story.
The more you snow, the less you know.
And it makes sense. In the context of the show.
Meaning don't snow so much. It's too cold out here.
Oh, my God. So moving.
You really feel not cold anymore.
Guys!
Our show's so good, we changed the weather.
Yeah, so.
All right. Well, let's
I mean, I have more, but that's a great time to end.
Let's
end it right. Well, we started late, though.
Yeah, well, yeah. Do you want to put a capper on the Anatoly? Do you want to say maybe?
Anatoly, you came up here. How's it going in your career?
Nothing much, actually.
You settled in at UCLA?
No.
Why not? What's hard? What's been the... I'm just curious because I came from a different country to go to college and it was, you know, very challenging. Yeah. Has it been for you?
It's not easy, but it's okay. Yeah, it's nice.
Actually, you seem evasive.
Is your parole officer here? It's great.
Yeah. I'm just tired, but it's nice.
Oh, he's tired.
Because I was sleeping all day before
You still jet lagged?
Anatoly, do you want to do since you're portraying the role of Mulrain right now? Do you want to do one final action before we can end on a little cliffhanger here? Look down at your character sheet or summon the inner Mulrain in you, and this is your opportunity to affect Aaron's character. You know, to affect our campaign.
No.
She's just still bummed out from the last.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Well, that wasn't the capper we were hoping for.
But what could follow that amazing show? Right. You know, I mean, what's gonna be better than that?
Cool. Only an awesome
encore.
And we do it again.
What were you gonna say?
A rap.
Awesome rap.
Yo, rap. Rap here, rap there, everywhere. I'm rapping in the street like a grizzly bear. I got a row of teeth inside my mouth. I fucked your mama in the north
and the south.
I fucked your mama in the titty and the butt. I fucked your mama. So what?
Take it, Anatoly. Go. Anatoly, go.
It's Russian rap. Бля, хуй, бля.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, all right.
Thank you for coming to Harmontown, everybody. Thank you, Anatoly. Thank you one more time for Kumail Nanjiani, everyone. Spencer Crittenden. Everybody here, thank you for coming so much. And everybody here at Meltdown, we love you so much. I'm Jeff Davis. One more time for your mayor, Dan Harmon.
No hierarchy. I will find you.
Yeah. Good night, all.